have questions, they call town hall with questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. The other thing you can do, I almost forgot this, we want, people who don't respond to the census, we hire the people who go and knock on the doors, the old-fashioned, hi, I'm here from the census. It really, really helps to have local people from the local town be hired to do the census, because it goes a lot smoother if someone can say, hey, Jane came to my door last night with the census, as opposed to some guy I've never seen before in this town came to the door and asked me my phone number. So we are only, I mean, the census, it pays $16.50 an hour. It's totally flexible hours. And the training starts in February. You're paid from training all the way through the end of the summer. So they're decent jobs. We're only 25% towards our goal for hiring in Windsor County, which is kind of a little bit of a panic for us, because we need people in Pomfret to say, yes, I'll take this job so I can do the enumeration in Pomfret. I've got in each of your packets is a poster on that. It's great for students. If you're 18 and over, that's basically all the requirements. It's great for students, for school teachers, for people who are in seasonal work in the winter and not in the summer. They're pretty decent jobs. Do you have any questions, either from you or your public back here? I'm happy to answer anything.
If you fill out the form online, do you then have to also fill out the form
and
get in the mail?
Once you fill out the form online, the system will cross-reference your address and you won't even get the additional mailings, which will make it easy.
So how do you account, because you're going by addresses.
Correct.
How do you account for a town like this, which has a large number of second homes?
Seasonal. And that's the route a lot of them on. If we do not receive a census back, a form back, or an internet response back from an address, the enumerators have to go knock on the door. That happens the first, second, third week of April. That's the big push. If no one's there, then no one gets counted. The idea is you're supposed to be counted where you live most of the time. So if someone's got a second home here, they probably do not live here most of the time. They would not count for this town. On the flip side, and we have a number of towns like this where the ski slopes actually provide employee housing. They're actually here more than 6 months of the year. They do count in the town where they're staying. If you can't tell if someone lives here more than half the time or not, because they move two or three times, farm workers, for instance, where are they living on April 1st? That's where it counts. So, the 0-5 population is actually one of the most undercounted populations, because they live with mom half the time and dad half the time and no one counts them, or because mom and dad are having an issue so they live with grandma and then grandma doesn't count them, she's thinking they belong to someone else. It's a question of who is in the town, not do they belong here, can they vote here, are they a citizen here, are they illegally living here. None of that matters. All of this is confidential, and the only thing we're looking at is who is the body in the town most of the time. They count. That was a long answer, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm talking all day. It's just like, oh. This is my 8th meeting like this today, so I'm like totally spent. Any other questions you have? There you go.
Thank you.
Is that a secret question for me?
Thank you for coming.
I'm going to leave you with that as well, which is just more information that's not in your folders. And thank you for having me.
We'll be sure we fill out our forms right away so you don't come after us.
There you go.
Now that you've given us a warning.
And have everyone else go. You know what? Town meeting. Is it in March, I assume, like most towns? Town meeting. Have the moderator just make an announcement. The census is upon us. March 12th is when it starts. Fill it out. It's important to the town.
I was thinking that would be a good idea.
It's important to the town, so. Or hang the enumerator posters up in town hall on primary.
I promise I won't throw it in the mail in the round file like I do the agricultural censor.
Uh-huh. Here you go. Thank you very much.
They always call if you don't. They don't get it back. So. Anyway. All right, moving on.
So you don't have a one.
Truck bids. So. We have bids, and they need to get opened. You can open them. You're fine. It says specifically in this cargo thing. It says they reserve the right to decline or suspend shipments of any customer order placed under price quote limit for any reasons relating to conditions at any cargo terminal, production facility, weather conditions, or any other reason that may affect Cargill's ability to accept orders. And Cargill's obligation to sell product is subject to product availability.
I almost think that's going to be the case with any of them, though.
No, some of them will guarantee.
They do guarantee.
They have in the past, yeah. Now, whether if there's a real shortage, did the person that you spoke to, did they give any indication that they felt they had
to start out? You're going to be able to supply us all in there. Didn't say yes.
Do you have any idea? I thought we put in the budget for 1,000 tons. Do you have any idea?
No, it's not budgeted for 1,000 tons.
This letter says 850.
I think there's probably, what is there, 60,000 in there for salt?
I think 65 or 68.
So it's not 1,000 tons.
That would be about 859 on the ton. When they get done with the truck, they will discuss it. So you're all set on the Fallbank Bridge, right?
To call Snarls. Okay. Once he gets that done, it's done.
Well, that's good, and then we'll get Ellen to do that paperwork. And we should be able to wrap that up. There's also... we have, if indeed that bridge at on Cloudland is really bad, we have right now $152,000 in the bridge reserves. So if push came to shove, and we couldn't get a grant for that, and the thing collapsed, assuming that we'll only have to pay about 15 or 20 for this Cloudland Bridge, you still have enough to do that bridge if it collapsed in the reserve.
I'll do that culvert.
That culvert, yeah. Which would be comforting, I would think. It is to me. So it's not like we don't have some funds there. And I don't recall whether we put anything into the bridge reserve this year or not in this current year's budget. I don't think we did we?
I don't think so.
But we could always budget to replenish some of that next year in the budget we're going to work on.
I do know if you're going to have like any logging or anything going on up there, I don't recommend going that way.
Should we post it?
Huh?
Should we post it? The bridge?
I'm telling you, it's...
Maybe we should post the bridge right now.
Good.
We could do that.
How do you do that? Going to run that through the state?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you do, yeah.
Just like you would post the road for spring and fall. We could get on that. What kind of limit would you put on it? I mean, they can get to any of those homes there or businesses, either going above it or below it. I mean, they can come in from either Barber Hill to get there, or they can come down Cloudland to get to the others.
I feel safe as we did.
You going to do any logging up there this winter, Billy?
What are you talking about? You just did the darn bridge. What? What bridge are you talking about?
It's not a bridge, it's a culvert. So,
Where's that?
You know where they park the Appalachian Trail cars right there?
Yeah, yeah. What about it?
That big culvert that's right there, it's buckling right in.
Oh, is that? How old is that?
When I say buckling in, it's squashed itself down, and now in the middle of it, it's folded in.
So all those round bales I bring up from Maplewood, probably.
Or if we close that road again, I can just hear it from all over here.
Jason, do it in the middle of the winter. We're going to be a lot of headaches.
You and me both.
What would you want to replace there?
They're saying that it would have to be like an Eric's culvert, like what they did down there on the other end of Cloudland, or a box culvert.
I think foliage time would be nice, wouldn't you think, Bill?
Why don't we...
How about June?
What do you got for Chuck kids?
My recommendation for tonight would be is that we could announce who put the bids in, and then we can review to make sure everything's there, and then
okay.
At the next, if it is, then we will be good. So I received one from Clark's. And the other ones are from, or the one I opened is from Clark's, and the other one is from ATG, like we discussed at the last meeting.
So. How come there's two?
Probably one's a Western.
One's Western Star, and one's
Freightliner. Oh, okay.
So what have you got there? International?
International, yep.
What's that going to cost?
Well,
last time we didn't announce the price.
Yeah, we'll wait and announce it after we make sure everything's here.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Doesn't make a difference to me, but if we're keeping it the same, that's what we did last time.
So what did you get?
This is ATG for a Western Star.
And I got ATG for a Freightliner.
Okay, so you'll get together and analyze it?
Yep. And the one thing I would like to bring up tonight is on the 10-wheeler trades, I got a trade back from ATG.
Oh, okay.
So if you guys want to write it down or whatever you want to do, he said that he would give $50,000 for each truck, but however, not sure when I would get the two trucks in trade. Being it's the plow season's coming, if he gets it mid-season, if he was to get them mid-season, he would do 45,000. So that's, and if it was after the plow season, he would only do 40.
Can't have them until we get a new one.
Right.
Exactly. So the reality of it is, I mean, I think it's fair to say that he's only going to give us 40,000.
Did we get one from Clark?
We did. Don't hold me to the exact number, but I want to say the older one that we were trading was 57 something. Like 57, 755. Nope. That was, they period. And then the 14 was 62,755 or something like that, right in that ballpark. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, Clark's is...
I think we need to make a decision.
Yeah, so what we need to do is...
We want to wait or do that until we decide.
Yeah, that way we can do...
Are we doing a 5-year warranty or 7-year? Just curious. At least this one's quoted two ways. Two warranties.
Here's the same. Here and there.
Yeah. And that'll be determined by how long we decide they want to keep it for.
Right.
Well, you're going to keep it for 7 years and they better get the 7-year warranty. You're going to keep it for 5.
Well, I got thinking about it. I mean, the reason we're trading now is we're having computer problems mostly. And so if these guys can give us good computer service and get that, because we're paying a fortune to have a tow for every computer glitch we get, and if they're going to come on site and we have a warranty for the computer stuff, is the reason why we can't keep them 7 years, because that's really what's going, other than the regular wear and tear springs and stuff like that. So something to think about.
Can we go back to the salt contract? It is specific in here that they are not guaranteeing this salt. We can take a chance. We're going to save not quite $7,000 by going with Cargill over the state bid. And Appalachia will sell it to us cheaper than the state bid, right? So it... They've told Jimmy they have plenty of salt. If I sign this and then we send it back, we all have to understand that there's no guarantee in this that we are going to get our product needs filled. They say they've got product. They've told Jimmy they have product. But this contract that I'm signing says that they are not guaranteeing that. Right. And that's what it says in the fine print, and I just want y'all to know that.
Well, yeah, I think that contract says that, so I think we need to ask them if they'd be willing to sign any contract that would guarantee it, and if not, then we either need to be then determine, I guess, what we're going to do, but we need to be doing that yesterday, so...
Well, this is just it. We need to... If we're going to... The state bid is $85. Appalachia is $83, and $83.25, and this is $78. So,
do they guarantee?
It says they can allocate tonnage. It isn't guaranteeing it either.
I don't think they'd be able to guarantee you.
So
we used to, we used to get it for that. We have in the past.
They have guaranteed in the past, but I mean, what does that really mean when it comes down to it? They've got no salt. I mean,
so
potentially, I guess what you're, I mean, even if you sign that contract, once you hit 1,000 tons, they can tell you no.
Well, this is 850. This is made out for 850, and from what's in the budget, that's probably about what we use. or we wouldn't have done that budget number, although the tonnage rate was, I think it was a little bit less than 78 last year, wasn't it?
No, it was 80s. It was 80-ish.
So
maybe 82.
We as a board here have to decide we're in salt season now, or we will be. So I can sign this contract, we can take a chance. I can sign the Appalachian one, we can take a chance.
What was your experience when you were here before? Was
there was a few times where it was nip and tuck, but it was nip and tuck in every district, and it weren't that we were getting salt. I mean, at that point in time, you could call anywhere you wanted to call and get salt. Yeah, I mean, we weren't committed to anybody. And you could call wherever. And just because they weren't bringing me salt, you'd call everybody else. Couldn't get any salt out of them either. They were running low. So we would go to the state shed. The state, you know, in Colorado, the state shed would have a load, or you could get a load out of the state shed, and then you just replace it. No, they worked with you on that, but I'm not saying they still do that. Because like District 4 down there, I mean, every town was down there from all over the place. I mean, Weathersfield, there was a bunch of them in there. And then we went up to the Bridgewater up there and hauled out of there one day. Not every town was doing that. So I mean, it was a shortage. We weren't just a shortage.
I would think if you're going to have problems with anybody, you're going to have less problems with Cargill than anybody else. I mean, they're.
I personally am willing to take a chance. I think we can get our needs met. I just want the board to realize that that's what we are signing, and we are taking. They say they have plenty of salt, and they've said that to Jim, but in here. It is not. They are not guaranteeing that product, and it's going to be, it's going to be 100 tons more salt you can buy, if that's what you want to do. We're pretty close to it, so.
I make a motion. We just go with Cargill and
sign it.
Sign it.
Is there a second?
So I guess we're sort of overruling our previous.
I read the fine print, and I want to make sure you understand. We all understand what we've done here because we're cheap and we want to save money. Yeah. So yes, we're overruling our previous motion,
We recognize that. I don't see anything wrong. It's just that we just got to recognize
that. That's fine. So do we have a second?
I second.
And all those in favor of overruling our previous motion and carrying on with an unguaranteed amount of product? Excellent.
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? I will sign on the dotted line. Now we're on to zoning ordinance. Bet you thought we'd never get here.
You woke me up.
We're closing that bridge. You're on, Bill.
Please don't mention bridges.
I will try very hard not to. Don't go home and say anything.
No, I'm not going to say a word. Hope you forget, too.
Just don't fall in it.
Bad news is they can only work on that.
No, I just think
the 15th of July to the 15th of October. So, unfortunately, it's that time.
Can you work on it in winter?
No. The state won't let you in the water.
I know they won't. October 1st or something crazy like that, right?
You could plug up the stream up above.
Maybe they can do another route down around the side for temporary, like they used to do in the old days. Drive right through the brook. Maybe you just turn and go this way to go on up. Tells it a bad plan to me. Cheaper. Well, we're ready for you to warn on hearing if you want. We're done, pretty much. It's been a long haul. We've beat the horse dead and beat it again. I think we're happy with it, with the zoning ordinance as it is. And we have a schedule here that you can. We have a letter stating, do you want to read it? Or?
This is the letter that Billy signed for October the 5th.
which basically says on behalf of the Planning Commission that Billy was happy to send the enclosed information on the zoning, and that the current zoning is now more than 40 years old, and the document is urgent need of and a substantial update to comply with all the recent Vermont housing development and other things. And the amendment is a multi-year revision process, and during this time we've had some planners from Place Sense, there's Brandy and Two Rivers with Sarah and Kevin helping out, and we've consulted a lot with Mr. McLean, and Ben Brickner has been an absolute godsend, but he was here to, with his expertise in not only writing but a clear mind to get this thing through and to work with McLean on, so we've got a legal review on it. I'm sure you'll be getting some bills on that. And you have to wait 15 days after the 5th of November before you can have a hearing. And you have to warn a hearing, I think it's, 15 days as well. So a suggestion would be to have the hearing your first Monday of December, or whatever day you want to pick in December, hold the hearing, and then you'll get the input from the town, and then you can, as a board, can decide whether you like the input or don't like the input, what you want to do with it, whether you, as a board, have changes that you want to change. And if they're minor, you could change it and possibly vote on it. If they're major changes, it may have to come back to the Planning Commission. But I think the first step is to get the hearing out of the way. So,
the hearing, after you present it to us,
which is on the 5th, you have to wait 15 days. So that brings it on.
15 to how many? You have
15 to how many?
And you can't go more than 120 days.
120 or
120? 120. Yeah. And so, it's up to you what you want to do. And the ordinance will take effect 21 days after you adopt it. The reason you have, if you had a hearing and then you decided you wanted to adopt it, have to wait 21 days after that, because the local townspeople, if they get 5% of the voters, they could bring it to a vote to town meeting.
So after the hearing, are there any regulations regarding number of days in which you have to decide to either adopt, send back to you, amend, or whatever?
Well, the site board must hold a hearing between November 20th and March 4th, and not less than 15 days, no more than 120 days. I guess I wouldn't cross that bridge to have the hearing first and then deal with what happens after that. You'll know more whether you want to drag it out.
Your question is how much time after the hearing do you have?
Correct.
Up or down?
Correct.
I don't think if
everything goes well.
I don't think there's any time. You could sit on it, you could send it back to Wash, you could do whatever you want to do, but get the hearing out of the way first.
I'm not sure that's correct, but I'm not sure. There's got to be a certain days you have to act or not.
Well, you have to have the hearing for 120 days.
Yeah, but after the hearing, how much time do they need to adopt or not?
We can find that out.
Yeah,
I'm sure that
yeah.
Two Rivers would know. Any thoughts from the board as to when you want to schedule the hearing?
Doesn't matter. It's right in the middle of budget season, no matter what. Unless we make the budget season really short.
Well, that would be ideal, wouldn't it?
One other thought that Ben Brink was hoping he could get here, but that the Planning Commission would be happy to assist at that hearing if you want to be here. Ben knows that thing pretty cold because he's dealt with it a lot with Jim and with us, and so
the moderator,
however you want to do it.
I'll just be there to answer questions.
2nd December is the first Monday of December.
Um, I'm looking for board guidance. I don't really have any feeling. I'll be honest. There's a real good chance I might not be here on the 2nd of December.
Probably won't get up here. Probably about 100% chance.
Or let's put it this way, I might not be very comfortable sitting here on the 2nd of December.
Okay.
Full of oxycodone, probably.
What?
Full of oxycodone, probably.
Well, maybe what about the 2nd?
What?
Considering that's 4 days post, I don't think you'll be at home.
What?
So considering that's 4 days post-surgery, I think you'll be sitting at home.
John says I'll be sitting at home.
What's the date, Emily, for your...
27th. I'd like to see us get this thing done with and adopted. If you waited until there was a question Ellen had that she wrote... The first meeting in January, if it's the first Monday, will be on the 1st of...
It'll be the 6th.
The 1st... will be New Year's Day. So I would like to think optimistically that we could have the budget all done by the 8th of January. If we change that first meeting to the 8th, rather than have it on New Year's Day, we could have the hearing then. And all the people that are normal residents are still going to be here, because school will be back in session then. They won't be gone on vacation. And conceivably, we could have the budget pretty well done by then, I would hope. It would be my goal to do that. I'd rather get the budget done early and then put this hearing in January and get it, then adopt it. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
There is one thing that the first Monday in January is the 6th.
Well, Ellen has a note here.
It's the Wednesday.
Wednesday is the 1st.
Right. That's what she's talking about.
Our regular meetings are on Wednesday, not Monday.
Ours are on Monday.
I misspoke, probably.
No, you were right. I was thinking of our meeting on Mondays.
So, do we want to have this hearing on the 8th of January? We also have got to notice this. Is that not correct?
Yeah, but you don't have to decide. I think you've got the 15-day notice, and it has to be in the... You have to get it to the Vermont Standard on Mondays. So... You'd have to have 18 days because your Wednesday comes up and then you need 15 after that. So you would need about 20 days to get ahead of that date. So if you have it on the 8th, you wouldn't have to really deal with it until sometime in December as far as the warning.
So shall we have the hearing on the 8th?
Sure.
And because that's already a scheduled meet, we'll have to check that calendar. I wonder if she has anything for next year yet. Because that isn't a regular meeting day.
The other question to think about is do you want Karen Hewitt and or Two Rivers to volunteer to... I guess they volunteer to have the planning commission on. I'm not sure they volunteer for the select board. Do you want some help on warning that or not?
Some help on warning it?
Warning it.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Get through the crystal. Yeah. Pristine job you had to skip dates.
Ben volunteered his time, and so I think maybe we could say that Ben would follow up with Emily and help in any way that she wants, and we would help out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
We'll make sure it gets warned. I'll talk to Ben about it. Maybe he could get on Two Rivers' case if they're willing to do that, or we can just do it either way.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and thank you for getting that done. We appreciate it. And also, just an aside, and it's not on the agenda, the town is now, the central office here now has water, whether the power is on or off. Green Mountain came today and unhooked the other... And the guy got that going yesterday. So now they have no excuse for running away when the power goes out.
And he's coming back on a few days to take the box off the side of the brick building and the cord and run a groundwater that he couldn't do until they unhooked it. Some breaker on the bottom part of that panel, the 50 amp breaker on the bottom part of that panel that runs down there, and the breaker is on the upper panel, just like it would have come in if it was coming in from the power down there.
So that's great, and thank you for facilitating that, John. Next on the agenda, we have several driveway permits that kind of need to be finalized and or discussed. And Tom Havel has given Heidi permission to put in a driveway, and it's my understanding that it's sort of in already. And when Jim and I, we went and looked at that, we said an 18-inch culvert was necessary, and they had to just have room for your water to go down through there where that water bar, that cutout was. And do you know whether he's finished with that or not?
I don't.
But anyway, so we should give him preliminary approval and not final approval to do that. So is that okay with you guys if there's an 18-inch culvert? Okay. Laredo and Jan Salzman, you looked at that, and that was okay. So that's a final one. Do we have approval to do that final one? Do you want to vote on each of these individually? Technically, we should. Let's. I move that we give Tom Havel / Heidi Boley preliminary approval for her application on Sugar House Road.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. Laredo Zola, Jan Salzman. Jim says that's all set for final approval. I so move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have this Barkal Trust, and this was a year ago or more when Tom Valley was putting in that new house. That has never even received preliminary approval, and I think you were up at that meeting. Weren't you up there? I know that... I know that Art was there. I think you were there that day. Who else could have been there? I was there. Anyway, the driveway's all in. They never got preliminary approval.
Where is this again? What road's this on?
Above Hewitt Hill Farm main house, where I can't remember the lady's name. The artist. What was her name?
But it's the original Bird's Nest House is what they call it.
Between Billy Cole's and Hewitt Hill Farm.
On the left.
Main house on the left, that new house.
Oh, where they blasted all the ledge out.
Correct, and they put the driveway down lower.
Yeah, okay.
You were
there. Yes,
right?
I was there. I didn't know, I didn't recognize the name.
So that never got preliminary approval, let alone final approval. So, we probably ought to vote on both preliminary and final approval. I'm sure we voted on these, but the paperwork has not been finished.
Yeah, I know we voted on that one.
So, do we want to give them final approval?
Yep.
For that?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. Now we have LaFlamme. They've now put in that driveway. I don't know whether you've looked at that. It looks good to me from a distance. There is an issue with the floodplain. And I think, I don't know whether you all got that email that Karen sent. I can't remember who she sent it to. But the driveway is not in the floodplain. And they finished that. So we need a motion to give them final approval on that one.
So
second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And Bobby Harrington, has he done anything with that?
He hadn't.
Okay, so we don't need that. And Dorman got preliminary approval. Is he done fooling around with that down there? Do you know that was the one up on opposite Sugarbush Farm Road. Yeah.
They're still in there.
Okay. Collier, we took care of that. He's redone that, so he only has one entrance now, right?
Yeah, the only thing that I would take note on and that we need to take note on is it's, they did what we asked them to do, put that split rail fence across there, but the center post is not, they just cut it off. It's just sitting on that driveway. They haven't seeded it, they haven't almost ever.
So let's wait on final approval on that. And then we have Grambling, and this got preliminary approval, and I have not looked at that. That's down on
Graves
Road. Maybe if you're down there, you'd look at that.
Which one?
It must have been the upper one.
It's the upper one, yeah. Do you know where Grambling built the house?
Yep.
After the first pitch.
So that's the and next then, driveway above that.
Yeah, on the same side. So I don't know if he's worked on it yet or not.
I mean, as it stands right now, there's no gravel, there's no nothing. I was just down there last week.
Okay, so that isn't finished then. Okay.
He said they were going to start adding stuff to it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. And then we have Kirk Flynn, and it appears that their driveway is done. The trees and brush are gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't really look at it real carefully, but it looked really good to me. That's up above, just before the North Pocket School, on the as you're going up through on the left-hand side.
Rip Richards.
Ripper's daughter.
I'll look at it again, but it's going to come down. If it comes off the road, it's going to come down. It still goes like this.
Okay. Well, let's wait on that, and if something needs to be done, we will I'll give her an email or something. I'll get these signed off so we won't have to do those. Thank you for your patience on this matter. I appreciate it. Budget workshop and planning. Well, let's do this Palmer Pole easement. Did you have you seen where this is down on Fisher's Road?
Oh, Cambridge Street?
No, down on Fisher's. I don't know what that's called anymore.
Kenyon
Hill. There's a lot in a driveway before you get up to Fisher's.
Yep, right at the top of the hill.
And they want a power pole. They want to run a line across to Palmer's land to get access. And here's this. You can read it. Anybody that so chooses. So basically, we're giving them a right of way to go overhead across to. His land, so he can get
power in there.
But you see, they're in the road right away. The pole is already there, I assume, to get up to Fisher's. White, whoever it is. Jeff White. I have not been down to look at that. And you've been down there a lot in the past. You probably are more familiar.
Just trying to think which side of the road the poles are on.
The pole's on, it's on the left, isn't it?
Well, there's a stake. There's a stake there. There's a little ways above his driveway. That showed up. So that's probably what he wants to do is come in right there.
They wouldn't be coming in.
Let's come up the hill, but I can't even picture the lines.
Well, they redid those. They used to go crosswalks there in back of Winnie Miller's and all, but they've got those right next to the road now. So where does it go up from there?
Well, coming pickles and hot dogs all the way down through the woods right there.
Well,
maybe we should go down and take a look before we approve it.
Well, what are we approving? Just for them to go across the road?
I don't know exactly. I thought the poles were right there. I haven't looked at this. And they need an easement. If those poles are in the road right of way, or if they put the wires over the road right of way, they need an easement. And it would seem to me that it would only be prudent to know what we had signed off on. And I don't know what... I have not been down there, but I'd be more than willing to go down there.
But the pole, I would not let them put it in the road right away.
we would want to make the wires going over the road right away is no big deal, but the pole we don't want in the road right
the
away.
What's the name of the people? I can't remember his name. I bet.
Palmer. Richard O. Palmer and Judith M. Palmer.
Okay. Palmer.
I think we better go take a look, and maybe you take a look when you
Because Palmer's
just
the one property across the road, did he?
Palmer's owned that log cabin in Sharon, right?
Yeah.
That's Palmer's.
But they do own some property somewhere around where the white dumpster business is on that side of the road, but they don't own anything across the road.
I thought they were the ones that bought the lot. Do you remember we had the problem with the tree?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff White complaining about the tree and all that fiasco. And I thought that lot on the right-hand side was this Palmer that we were discussing. And I could be wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, because
Palmer's is on that. They own a chunk in there near Dog or somewhere's right there, too, on that right-hand side headed up the hill. But if they're coming off from Palmer's, then they shouldn't be crossing the road.
Yeah, and that lot where the dumpsters used to be and stuff, that's this new owner. He owns all the way down to Pomfret Road. He bought that whole corner in there between Pomfret Road and Kenyon Hill. He owns all that. I think there's...
Did he buy that from Palmer's?
See, I don't know. I don't know who. But that...
I think we need to go look at
that. Yeah,
definitely. I don't think we better sign off on that one.
Because the white dumpster, if memory serves me, the white dumpster was on Palmer's property.
And yeah. That's gone now, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I'm surprised they didn't... They talked about... There was people stopping and dumping stuff over the bank, and they were talking when they first moved here about putting a fence up so that you couldn't get into that pullout even.
Wow.
But they haven't done anything, so maybe...
Maybe it blew over.
Yeah, it said that overhead line beginning at GMP pole number 1 run to the center line of Kenyon Hill Road onto land or lands now or formerly Payne.
I guess we're going to go look at it.
We better go look at it, because we certainly don't need a pole in the right of way.
No.
We'll let that one sit.
You don't want it like Black Mirror.
Huh?
So you don't want poles like Black Mirror?
You better not lift your body up. They got to some telephone wires that are pretty low on that second pitch. I don't know whether you've noticed those. I can hardly get up through there with my tractor. You could take care of those, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've had to have done it before by accident.
I'm not suggesting any such thing. But they put some new power poles up there that are higher, but the telephone hasn't changed their wires. And they're on that second pitch, they're pretty long.
See, they're getting ready to move a bunch of them out on Gaper Street.
Oh, are they?
Did you see that?
Well, I saw when I was running bales, I saw the guy. He kept leaving his truck in the middle of the road, and he'd see me coming.
And he said, I'm going to do it. Actually, some of them, he said, that are too close to the road, they're moving them back away.
Oh, good.
And that's what they want to do.
Budget worksheets and planning. Becky was concerned that projector doesn't work anymore, and she talked about maybe she had some thoughts about maybe getting a large television that you could run off your computer, and she's going to talk to Bob Merrill about that and whether that would work any better. She says that she thinks probably the software up there needs to be upgraded, which is why you're having difficulty staying on it. And so then when do you guys want to start having budget meetings? Ona has just given me what she wants. There's also There's this Blue Cross Blue Shield letter that indicates the increase, there's a public health council that won't ask for money this year but wants it another year, and there's also the Two Rivers assessment letter here. So we're starting to get stuff in.
Certainly need to get going on it, so.
We'll start working on the highway thing next week if we can.
Did you get the spreadsheet from Nancy Matthews yet?
Ben gave me a preliminary one. I don't know whether it's the final one. He said he had a few things to work out. I will email him back and see if that's the final thing, and then we can go from there. He said he had a few more things to work out. Come up with a time when you want to meet on budget, and we'll do that.
Whenever
is fine. And also, we'll figure out what you want to do with these grants. I'll do a little research.
Speaking of that.
Do you... I can make a copy of this right now. Do you want to... Or do you want... do you want me to just have Becky scan this back to him on Friday?
Oh.
Or do you want to send it back?
No, it's fine. There's a 6-year-old load of salt sitting in that salt shed.
So do you want me to make a copy of this for Becky and give this back to you, and you can call the guy or send it back or do whatever you want to do?
I can, yep.
Okay. Make a copy for
Becky. Yeah, there's quite a few snowflakes showing on the weather map for the next 5-6 days,
too. Yeah.
I don't like it any better than you do, but...
We might as well be realistic. Actually, there was snow on my... There was snow on my truck this morning. Mm. A few little...
Yeah.
Clones.
There was what?
There were crystals that were not frost on my truck this morning. Or maybe it was yesterday morning. I don't know. They all run into each other.
Doing what they're doing sooner or later, we're going to end up with the... Even if it's raining, it could be...
The other thing, now that you brought that up real quick... These are those IGRCUs.
Yeah, we got to keep going on that too.
It's coming to an end. I think it's the 11th.
How much are these going to cost us?
Well, I went through. This one here is the same as this one out of Northern, or Northern Pima. And it's cheaper by. So this one's 5595. That one's 5395. And then this other one here is $34.50, but it's only a 200-gallon one. From what I've read about it, that one there is the one. I don't know a lot about it either.
I think that was a $6,000 grant. The hydroseeding.
We got that. By ourselves, or is that with another town?
No, that was that grant.
Do you want the original?
Yes, thank you.
I'll suspend all $6,000.
I made two copies.
Get a couple more.
That's great.
Friendly user features or whatever.
Did you give Jimmy the
better
original?
Quality?
I did.
How about the original stuff?
No, I'm going to give one of these. I'm going to put this right on my desk.
Do you know?
And you can fax it back home or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, use that the extra of the $6,000 to buy a bunch of the stuff.
There we go. Okay. I'll put that on Becky's desk. Do you want to make a motion on the purchase of the hydroseeder?
Jim gave us a couple of, is there a couple of quotes there, I'm assuming, so we got something.
One is Northern Tool for 53 something, and the other is What is it there?
It's just this turbo, it's turbo turf or whatever themselves.
Yes, turbo turf.
Which is what? Are they? Is there anybody local? So if we have, I mean, that's the one thing about them.
Well, even the one in Northern is turbo turf.
Where would you suggest Jim get a price?
Basically, all they are is a tank and a pump. And
what's that?
Basically, all they are is a pump and there's a jet agitator inside the tank. There's not
some of them that I was looking at didn't have this. See, like this one's round.
Yeah, you want that.
You want that tray on the top.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I ask is you've got two quotes, so we know, you know, we've met our requirement for purchasing policy. That's right.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's got three.
He does. Okay, he got three.
Okay. Then I move we.
Do you think there's any local concern we could buy one from? I understand what you're saying. You're worried about that.
There's. The only thing that's going to break on is going to be the
pump
of the motor.
You just pull one out and put on a new one, you know, for $400.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding anybody locally that would even do it when I was trying to find someone.
To quote, you mean?
I got a quote to, I hunted around to get, try to get somebody to hydro seed for us as a contractor, and I don't know if there's any vendors.
I know that I called the Town Light Equipment and somebody said, hey, maybe Town Light. So I called Town Light Equipment and they didn't even have a line of anything of that nature. Actually, I talked to Spencer there and he said he was going to look into it and call me back, and he never did. But
I would just make sure that if you get it from Northern Tool that there isn't some freight charge or something that's going to get you back up there. I don't know what their deal is.
They're free, usually free freight if something that expensive.
Well, I haven't dealt with them for a while, so I just.
Yeah. So I move that we authorize Jim to purchase a hydro seeder.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. There you go, Jim.
Thank you.
Get it coming, and then we'll get that documentation in, and we'll get some money back. Also, on insurance, which is another thing,
do you want to look at them, Brian?
Wade Mazur had all those things that needed to be addressed in those reports. And I sent him back all the information that you gave me, Jim. And I got information from the library. And she left out a few things. And I got back in touch with her. And she indicated what else they had done down there for their issues. And I think Scott had talked to them on the town hall issues. The heat tapes are no longer there, so you don't need to get an electrician in. Johnny took care of those. We're going to have to do something with the front railing here and the side and the ramp over here. And what I said on the paper was that we were working on getting some quotes on those things. They probably were not going to happen until spring, but the facility over there isn't being used until town meeting time. But we were working on getting quotes for these other things. They were concerned about the trees out back, but you'd cut those down at the town garage. So we'll see. They received the report that I sent them, and they're going to look it over, and then we're going to get another letter. But that hasn't come yet. So at least we've gotten back in touch with them, and so the ball's in their court again. Anything else? All we've got left is, I don't think we ever decided when we were going to have a budget meeting. Do you want to just start working on the budget at the next regular meeting? And I'll get the office here to get their proposals in. I've got ONAs. The library has been put on notice. And I know the fire department has been working on their budget. Does that sound good to anybody? Any other? Would you prefer to start sooner than that? Let's start on the next regular meeting. And then we'll make a schedule after that.
Sounds good.
November 20th.
Excellent. Review of assignments and agenda items for next meeting. Put budget on there.
The only thing I have written down is the tree removal business. You were going to try to find somebody?
No, we voted to have
Sai
do it.
So we're all set.
Yep.
Hey.
Anything else? Anything we've forgotten? We'll work on that grant. We'll get that together. And hopefully it'll hold together.
And definitely take a look at that one on Wild Apple some point, too. That's...
That one on Wild Apple?
Well, you did look at that, but what did you never finish saying we got distracted.
What, the Wild Apple one?
Yes.
Oh, I've looked in that one numerous times in the past. I've looked at it this year, but I've looked at it numerous times.
But this other one is in worse shape.
Huh?
It's starting to...
Yeah, well, that one there, though, I'll take it, I think, because it's not coming down, you know what I mean? It's not coming down. This one's going to come down. I guarantee it, if it don't come down from now till, and let's just hope it's not a town truck. Telling you, man, you look under it.
Going right further down, than the one I'm
right
now.
I'm sorry, it's buckled right now.
Who's going to contact the state regarding the requirements do you have to talk to them about posting that bridge?
I can give them a call.
When you're talking to them, find out what we've got to do to post that bridge legally. And we'll post it.
Is it a bridge or technically, or is it a culvert? Right now it's a culvert, right?
What's that?
It's a culvert right now, the bridge.
Can you post culverts?
I don't know. I'm just...
I think we need some information, but we'll get it in the works.
I'll call them tomorrow, and then I'll call and I'll also ask them about the hydraulic study and about if there's any...
See if there's any engineering assistance.
It comes with it.
See what you can get. And then if you can, and I'll I know I've got that Willis's stuff. That was in the same packet when we had John do that other. Finally, and I should have mentioned this before, I briefly touched base with Joe Ronan of Sharon. They did, the bond went in the positive 116 to 12 or something.
Huh?
So he thinks that they probably aren't going to contest it, but they don't know for sure. I emailed him to say when were they going to try and get that RFP out so that we could get ours out at the same time. So we'll have to kind of shake John's tail and get that together. And I was talking with Jimmy about it, and I wondered if we wanted to do two scenarios on that RFP, one with the fabric and one in the locations that they suggested and one without.
I wouldn't go without it where they suggested it, but if we're going to spend all that money, might as well spend the extra and just do it.
Do it right so that we get another 50, 60.
I mean, the fabric is...
Well, we got fabric.
The problem isn't the price of the fabric.
We do have fabric down there. Some of it is... See what it looks like as we go.
I thought that was too narrow.
That stuff down there, yeah. But use it if we have to.
Well, six of one, half a dozen the other. It's just that it's been laying down there for years. We must have gotten a road somewhere. It's what? It's.
I thought that was 17 foot or something, right?
What?
The stuff down at the garage. Why?
That's 17 feet wide, isn't it?
It's wider than the regular stuff that I can watch. It's 12 or 14.
I think it is 17.
But even if they have to overlap it or something.
Right.
Because there's quite a few rolls down there.
Yeah, there's only... Well, I looked at them again the other day, and I think there's... I can't remember just the other day. There's like 21 rolls. 21 rolls of a lot, but a lot of it now is... I mean, it's set out there in age so much now that the burlap on it's getting... It's going by. I mean,
probably just the edge.
UVs have cooked on it, you know.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, no, it's not any good. They don't want to use it, but obviously...
Yeah, I definitely stick with the fabric. It buys you.
My only thing that I would like to see them do on it to save us, because we got a lot of work to do before we pave that road. If we do get this grant and we're able to do all them culverts, are they going to do Sharon first and then move to Palmbrook?
We're hoping to do.
Well, they'll start at one end and they'll go right.
If it's all one RFP sort of all together, they're going to probably, do whatever's going to be advantageous for them, I would imagine.
Right, they're not going to move out.
Are they going to come to the line and do Sharon first and then do Palmbrook? Because that'll give us more time to get that stuff done.
What the last, not this, not the email that I shared with you just now that I sent to Joe Roman. In the previous email that I sent to him two or three weeks ago, I said that after...